This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa habibina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Today we continue with the attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This morning we will talk about هديه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في الصلاة وفي الذكر, his how he prayed and how he invocated Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and they come together, and I wanted them to be together. So even in my initial planning, they were together because they actually fit together, and I think it's an appropriate time to maybe review that aspect of his teaching صلى الله عليه وسلم, as Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, أقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. Perform and establish your prayer at both ends of the day and parts of the night. Indeed, good deeds will erase bad deeds. أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. Establish your prayer as the sun sets until the middle of the night, and then recite the Quran right around Fajr. Indeed, the recitation of Fajr is witnessed. He says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, أقم الصلاة لذكري. Establish your prayer so that you may invocate me through it. And that's why I think they come together, because the purpose of salah at the end is the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Dawood narrates for us, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would commonly, and this is the wording that he used, would commonly say to Bilal radiallahu anhu, Ya Bilalu, أَرِحْنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ. So you say, O Bilal, grant us ease and grant us serenity by making iqama for salah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam truly felt this. This to us is a little bit of an anthem within the Islamic faith. We use it quite commonly, but we just, that's as far as it goes. We just say, this is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to say. He used to love salah, he used to find his ease and serenity within it, and then we all go home, and that's the end of the story. But the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would say في الحديث عند النسائي وأحمد جعلت قرة عيني في الصلاة, and the cool of my eye is found within salah. That's where he finds himself عليه الصلاة والسلام to find the most ease in his life. Also narrated by Abu Dawood بسند صحيح, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام كان, this is what حذيفة says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حزبه أمر فزع إلى الصلاة. Another Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was in a true difficult time. حزبه أمر, meaning he's very concerned about something. He's distressed. He's stressed by something عليه الصلاة والسلام, a lot of distress. He would فزع أو فزع. He would basically run towards salah. I mean, that is where he would go. Whenever he was having a difficult time عليه الصلاة والسلام, the thing that he would do to relieve his stress, to get rid of the difficulty, to be able to deal with it عليه الصلاة والسلام, is he would go for salah. This is how he felt about it. This is what salah was for him. When you go back to the initial teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, those first five surahs that were revealed to him within the first couple of days, and then 6 months of basically no revelation at all. Within those first five, Ya ayyuhal muzammilu qumi layla illa qaleelan nisfahu أو ينقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. Oh, the one who called as he ran down the mountain, cover me, I'm shivering. Pray the night, accept a little bit of it, half of it, or maybe a bit less, or maybe a bit more, and recite the Quran with beauty. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would spend 6 to 7 hours every night praying Qiyam al-Layl. Please, when you come and talk about Taraweeh and how long it is and the number of rak'at and how much the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, none of us are even close to what he did alayhi salatu wasalam. We can't even hold a candle. Not even close. Don't ask me. It's actually very, don't ask me the number of rak'at. What do you, number of rak'at? Seriously? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would pray 6-7 hours a night. We do an hour and a half and people walk out disgruntled. Like an hour and a half and I start being asked if it's hour 35 minutes. Sheikh, why? It was 125 yesterday. Why 135? Can you get a sheikh who can read a bit quicker? They're making too many mistakes. 6-7 hours alayhi salatu wasalam nightly for the entirety of his life alayhi salatu wasalam. Even in the midst of al-Ahzab, in the midst of al-Uhud alayhi salatu, this is what he did sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Taqulu Aisha, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam fi mihnati ahlihi fa idha قامت الصلاة قام كأن لا يعرفونا أو كأنه لا يعرفونا. That he would be amongst us, he would be playing with the children, he would be talking. Once حي على الصلاة حي فلا, he gets up as if he doesn't know us. He gets up, it's like he's not even, it's like he's a different person. Whenever salah, that he goes to salah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not because he wanted to. It's a difference between having to and wanting to. You start out with having to, but then if you do this right and you do it appropriately, it'll become something different for you. It stops being a burden. It becomes something that grants you ease in your life, and you can't imagine your life without it. Which is inshallah what we hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us by the end of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. In the day of Uhud, Rafa'a ibn Muhsin, in the hadith and Abi Dawood, would say that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after, لَمَّنْ كَفَأَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, it's a long hadith, he's going to take the first piece of it. When the Mushrikun finally left after Uhud and after everything that happened, it was a horrible day. After that day, قَالَ نَبِيُّ لِي يَا رَفَعَ قُمْ, he told me, get up. حَتَّى أُثْنِيَ عَلَى رَبِّي, get up, stand behind me in prayer. I want to praise my Lord. This is after Uhud immediately. So the Prophet ﷺ that night after Uhud, he told somebody, pray with me. I don't want to pray alone. I want to praise my Lord. قال فوقف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet stood. ووقفت معه, and I stood with him. قال فاصطف المسلمون صفوفا. And the Muslims came to me. And all the people who were there for Uhud stood behind the Prophet ﷺ that night. And they praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanked him. For losing? No, for everything else. For everything else. You don't, they thought differently. رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. In the known hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ is sitting in the masjid, and a gentleman would walk into the masjid and pray. And once he was done, he would come to sit with the Prophet ﷺ's group, and he would say, "Irji' fasalli, fa'innaka lam tusalli." Go back and pray again. You didn't pray. So the man would go and pray again. He would come back again. The Prophet ﷺ would say the same thing to him. Go do it again. So he'd do it again. He'd come back the second time. Go it again. Third time. فقال يا رسول الله والله لا أحسن غيرها. He said, "I don't know how to do it any differently. I'm sorry. This is all I know." So he explained to him عليه الصلاة والسلام, قال إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فكبر ثم اقرأ ما تيسر لك من القرآن, stand, make takbir, read the Quran, ثم اركع, forgive me, حتى تطمئن راكعا, until you're in a state of calmness during ruku'. So bow until you're calm. So every piece of your every organ, every bone, every muscle, it just stops and you're calm for a moment. Right? So none of the, you know those games where you turn it around and just, none of the marathon Olympic prayers that are, breaking world records in 25 seconds and whatnot. He would pray, he would do ruku'a, hatta tatma'in, he would use that word, hatta tatma'in, until you're calm in ruku'a. قَالَ ثُمْ مَرْفَعْ حَتَّى تَسْتَوِي رَافِعًا, then stand and make sure you're straightening your back up when you stand. ثم مسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا ثم اجلس حتى تطمئن جالسا ثم مسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا, use the same word, next sujood, be calm, and then sit and say, so in calmness, and then ثم افعل اجعل ذلك في صلاتك كلها, and then do that every rak'ah that you pray, because the gentleman was just kind of going up and quickly and coming back, and that's how you pray. يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحديث المتفق عليه, لو أن رأيتم لو أن نهرا بباب أحدكم يغتسل منه كل يوم من خمس مرات هل يبقى من درنه شيء. If someone had, he's asked, if you had a river in front of your house and every day five times you went and you bathed in it, what filth would be left on your body at the end of the day? فقالوا يا رسول الله لا يبقى من درنه شيء. No, he wouldn't have any, and his hygiene level would be very high. فقال فكذلك الصلوات الخمس أو صلوات المكتوبات. That's how the five prayers do for you. They purify you. They cleanse you. They leave nothing for you if you do them right. You end your day with no dhunub. Even if you've sinned during the day, Allah has forgiven them, inshallah, at the end of the day with the salah. Sayyidina ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, once he saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam praying, فَقَالَ لَأَحْضَيَنَّ اللَّيْلَةَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. He walked into the masjid, and he saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam praying alone. So he said to himself, I'm going to have this special bond. I'm going to pray with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam alone. So he prayed with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, قال حتى فصليت خلف النبي حتى هممت بأمر سوء. I prayed with him until I had a very evil intention. That I had a horrible intention. فقالوا يا أبا عبد الرحمن وأي أمري وأي نيتي سوء. He's the imam. What are you talking about? You had a bad intention. قال هممت أن أقوم وأدع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. I had intention of saying salam and going home and leaving the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام to pray alone. Why? Hudhayfa tells us why. Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman, hadith also in Sahihain, صليت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات ليلة في المسجد يصلي وحده. You see, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام taught us to do تخفيف in المفروضة, in المكتوبة, like فجر and عشاء. He told us to do تخفيف. So, يعني a page or something, nothing more than that. You shouldn't go more. It shouldn't be a long prayer. But when it comes to sunnah, he didn't teach us to do that. Now, I'm going to rant for a second, just for your own bit. Sunnah is not to please people. Sunnah is to train people. If I make a salawat al-maktuba long, then you have the right to come and say, this is not appropriate, this is not what the Prophet ﷺ did, and I would be wrong if I did so. But if I were to take sunnah and make it and squeeze it into something really quick, just so people can pray and be happy, then I'm actually not doing my job for you. Because sunnah is not here to make it easy for you. Sunnah is to train, to teach you. If you don't pray that much, so that you pray more. So you actually get some coaching because you're not doing it properly. So for us to cater to the larger group in Taraweeh, for example, or sunnah, to make it quick and half an hour, 15 minutes, people can go, that is not healthy. That's not what we're supposed to do. Alayhi Salaam Wasallam didn't do that. He did it in the fard, he did that all the time. He was very clear on that. And we don't even debate that. Of course, in fard, you make it quick, people have to pray it. But sunnah, that's for training purposes. That's so that you increase your closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not supposed to make it simple. We're supposed to make it enjoyable. We're supposed to make it something that you can tolerate and work with. But the point of it is that you learn. The point of it is that if you're not used to praying an hour every night, that you learn a little bit of how to do that. And you stand, and it's a bit more, if it's tiring and it's a bit more difficult, then you're not in, you learn to stand your ground anyway. That's the point of what we're supposed to do that. It's more popular for me to make a salah that's maybe 45 minutes. It's easier for me to actually read. I can lean Taraweeh, I can get you out in 50. No problem, it takes nothing. But that's not what we're supposed to be doing here. We're supposed to actually be training and learning and getting used to standing in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reciting the Quran, because it's sunnah. See, when we don't understand the priorities and don't understand how Islam actually works, we make the wrong decisions. We're not supposed to make it easy for people in sunnah. Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith shows you an example. He didn't, Hudhaifah stood there. No one told him to. He didn't invite him. This is sunnah. He's not praying fajr. He can go pray on his own. This is how he prays, alayhi salatu wasalam. Fajr is different. He didn't stand and go an hour in fajr. And when Mu'adh went for a little bit more in Isha, he chastised him. And he told him, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ. Like, you're someone who wants to cause fitna. Radiallahu anhu, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, one of the mountains of Islam. He was told this by the Prophet. No, you pray Isha, you make it concise. People need to go to sleep. They have to get out of here. Sunnah is there for training purposes. When we cater to people's needs, then we're not actually doing them a favor. We're not teaching anyone. We're not actually getting them. We're not bringing people closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hudhaifah says that I prayed behind the Prophet alayhi salam, it was alone. قَالَ فَافْتَتَحَ الْبَقَرَةَ فَقُلْتُ يَقْرَأُ مِئَةً ثُمَّ يَرْكَ. I said he probably read like 100 in ruku'a. قَالَ فَأَتَمَّ الْمِئَةَ ثُمَّ جَاوَزَهَا. He read 100 and then kept on going. فَقُلْتُ يُتِمُّهَا ثُمَّ يَرْكَ. He'll finish the Baqarah and then he'll make ruku'a. فَأَتَمَّهَا فَافْتَتَحَ النِّسَاءَ. At that time, the Quran was not put in the same sequence. It was done at the end of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. So I said, he'll read like 100 and maybe go make do ruku'an. فَقَرَأَ الْمِئَةَ ثُمَّ جَاوَزَهَا. He did 100, kept on going. فَقُلْتُ يُتِمُّهَا ثُمَّ يَرْكَعَ. I thought he'll finish it and he'll make ruku'an. قَالَ فَافْتَتَحَ آلِ عَمْرَانَ. فَقُلْتُ يَقْرَأُ مِئَةً ثُمَّ يَرْكَعَ. Okay, he'll do 100 and he'll make ruku'an. فَقَرَأَ الْمِئَةَ ثُمَّ جَاوَزَهَا. And then he finished and he kept on going. This is six juzu' in one ruku'ah. It's like six nights of Taraweeh in like a rak'ah he's praying, alayhi salatu wasalam. Like literally a week of Taraweeh that takes us, he's doing it one rak'ah. قَالَ فَلَمَّا انْتَهَى. When he finished rak'ah, فَسَمِعْتُهُ يَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمُ وَبِحَمْدِهِ فَكَانَ رُكُوعُهُ قَرِيبًا مِّن قِيَامِهِ. And he made ruku' and his ruku' is similar to how long it was for him to stay. فَثُمَّ رَفَعَ فَكَانَ رَفْعُهُ قَرِيبًا مِّن رُكُوعِهِ. Then he stood. رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ لَكَ الْحَمْدِ. It was similar to the same timing. ثُمَّ سَجَدَ. And then he did sujood. It was similar to... قَالْ يَقْرَأُ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ مُتَرَسِّلًا. He read the Qur'an, it flowed out of him. إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةٍ فِيهَا ذِكْرُ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أَسْأَلُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. I hear him under his voice asking Allah for Jannah. If he reads an ayah there, he talks about nar, I can hear him seeking refuge in Allah from nar. If he goes through an ayah that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I hear him praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's enjoying himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is his joy. He finds peace in it. And Hudhaifah learned the hard way that that's how he did it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha taqul fi al-hadith al-sahih. Kana nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqumu hatta tatafattara qadamahu. He would pray until his feet, there were lines and little, there were openings in his feet because he stood for so long. Faqultu ya Rasulallah, lima tasna'u hadha wa qad ghufira laka ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhara. Why are you doing this? Allah has forgiven everything for you. He told you word for word in Surah Al-Fatih, all your sins are forgiven, don't think about it anymore. Faqala alayhi salatu wasalam ya Aisha, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Do I not be a thankful and grateful servant of Allah? If he forgave everything, should I be grateful of that and show gratitude? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Waqidi and Ibn Hisham in their Maghazi, in their Sir, the hadith does not have a chain of narration in the books of hadith, but it exists in the books of history, the books of Sirah, where Khadija radiallahu anha, during the early times of Islam, will tell Ya Rasulullah, هَلَّا نُمْتْ, will you not sleep? Sleep. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَضَى زَمَنُ النَّوْمِ يَا خَدِيجَ. The time of sleep is gone. The days of sleep are behind me. I can't afford to sleep anymore. صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he was standing in prayer, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhani, collection of a Muslim, قال رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي. I saw him praying one night. فقلت لأرمقن صلاة رسول الله. I'm not going to make the mistake that Ibn Mas'ud and Hudhayfa made. I'm just going to watch him عليه الصلاة والسلام pray. قال فصلى في أول الليل ركعتين خفيفتين. He prayed two short ركعة. قال ثم صلى بعدهما ركعتين. This is what he said. This is the wording of Imam Muslim. ركعتين طويلتين طويلتين طويلتين. He prayed very 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 long two ركعات after. ثم صلى بعدهما ركعتين أقل من اللواتي اللتين قبلهما. Then he prayed two after that, a little bit shorter than one before. Then two, and he counted. فقال ثم أوتر فكان ذلك ثلاث عشرة ركعة. And then he did altogether 13 rak'ah, which is what we're doing, what we try to do here, because this hadith yani, at least gives us some authenticity of his behavior that way. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabi'a ibn Ka'b al-Aslami was a young gentleman who, whenever he had time off or he had time yani, to offer, he would go and he would serve the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a young man. He would go just do whatever the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam needed, just to spend time with him. And one night he didn't catch up, meaning after Isha, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam got home before Rabi'a was actually able to come and tell him that he wanted to do something for him. And he's like, I've already made the intention of serving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What I'll do is I'll stay on his doorstep outside and wait for him to wake up for Fajr or something, and I'll go and bet his wudu for him and go to Fajr with him. So he said, so I sat in front of his doorstep and I heard him alayhi salatu wasalam get up at night for prayer. قَالَ فَقَامَ فَصَلَّى فَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ حَتَّى سَهَتْ عَيْنِي. And then he read the Quran until I fell asleep. فَاسْتَيْقَظْتُ فَإِذَا هُوَ مَا زَالَ يَقْرَأ. And I woke up and he was still reading. ثم ركع فسمعته يقول سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم. Then I heard him make ruku and he's saying سبحان ربي العظيم. And then I fell asleep. And I woke up and he was still saying سبحان ربي العظيم. And then he سمع الله لمن حمده. And I could hear him say ربنا لك الحمد لك الحمد لك الحمد لك الحمد. He was saying that repetitively until I fell asleep. And I woke up again, he was still saying لك الحمد لك الحمد لك الحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the hadith, he would wake up عليه الصلاة والسلام for Fajr, open the door, almost step on Rabi'a's head. What are you doing here? قال يا رسول الله أتيت لأخدمك. I'm here to serve you. I wanted to stay here to take care of, get your wudu and stuff. قال الله ما يعني ما أتيت إلا لهذا. Is that seriously why you're here? فقال نعم. قال سلني ما شئت يا ربيعة. Ask me for whatever you want. And then Rabi'a would go and he would spend a few days thinking, what do I ask him for? Dunya? I can't ask him for dunya. I want to get married, but I'm not going to ask him for that. I need some money. I need a house. قال والله لأسألنه يعني ما يجب أن يسأل رسول الله. So I'm going to ask him what the Prophet should be asked. صلى الله عليه وسلم. He went to him. قال يا رسول الله أسألك مرافقتك في الجنة. I ask to be with you in Jannah. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم قد سألت عن كثير. You ask for a big thing. هلا غيرها. How about you ask for something different? قال ليس إلاها يا رسول الله. No, nothing but that. فقال إذا أعني على نفسك بكثرة السجود. Then help me by doing a lot of sujood. Help me if I'm going to do this for you. You have to help me out. Make a lot of sujood. Prostrate a lot. Pray a lot. Pray a lot so that I can argue for you to be there because I can't do that if you're not doing it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would say alayhi salatu wa sallam fil hadithi عند Tirmidhi, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ وَأَزْكَاهَا عِنْدَ مَلِيكِكُمْ وَأَرْفَعِهَا فِي دَرَجَاتِكُمْ وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَن تُنْفِقُوا الذَّهَبَ وَالْوَرِقَ وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَن تَلْقَوْا عَدُوَّكُمْ فَتَضْرِبُوا أَعْنَاقَهُمْ وَيَضْرِبُوا أَعْنَاقَكُمْ. Should I not tell you of something that is more beloved to your, the most beloved thing to your Lord? It's the heaviest thing in your scales. It will grant you the highest status in Jannah. It's better than spending wealth. It's better than going in combat against your enemy. قالوا بلى يا رسول الله. فقال ذكر الله. He said, invocation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Jannah, all acts of worship cease to exist. All of them cease to exist except, قال, in the hadith of Sahih, قال يلهمون التسبيح. They will continue to perform tasbih. In Jannah, you continue to perform tasbih. As you enjoy what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for you, you continue to say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Jalla Jalalullah. So if your tongue is not used to doing that now, I can't imagine it's going to be a big flip on the Day of Judgment. I think it's something you have to start now in order for you to continue يوم القيامة والله أعلم. الحديث عند أحمد Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام قال مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في طريق مكة على جبل يقال له جمدان. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was on a way on a journey towards Mecca and he went by a mountain called جمدان. فقال سيروا walk quickly. هذا جمدان. This is the name of the mountain. سبق المفردون سبق المفردون. Those who do المفردون will make it first. Will get there first. فقال يا رسول الله وما المفردون. What is المفردون? We've never heard this word before. قال الذاكرون الله كثيرا والذاكرات. Those who continue to remember Allah سبحانه وتعالى a lot. Those who remember Allah at all times and male and female. Those who continue to remember Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Abdullah ibn Busr, one of the Sahaba in the collection of Imam Tirmidhi, would come to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and say يا رسول الله كثرت علي شرائع الإسلام. There's too much about Islam. This is too confusing. I can't memorize all of this stuff. I don't know what to do anymore. فَدُلَّنِي عَلَى شَيْءٍ أَتَشَبَّثْ بِهِ. Give me just one thing to do, to hold on to make it to my destination. There's too much going on. He's one of those people. He just needs a simple فَقَالَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith. قَالَ مَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Memorize these five or six words. مَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. May your tongue continuously be moist in the invocation and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May you always, in the moisture obviously is a figure of speech, a metaphor. It's as if when you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't invocate Allah, you don't do tasbih, your tongue turns dry. And when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you perform tasbih, it's like it's moist with his remembrance subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what he's trying to explain sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Examples, again, I won't take time for you. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam would say in a hadith sahih, وَإِنِّي لَيُغَانُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِي. Sometimes I feel a moment of lack of remembrance. فَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةِ فَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ. When I feel a moment of lack of focus, I ask Allah for forgiveness 100 times. Does he have 100 sins, alayhi salatu wasalam? In his mind, he does. To us, he doesn't. The thing is, your sensitivity really has to increase for you to see sin. Your sensitivity as a Muslim has to really increase for you to see sin. If you're not sensitive, you don't see sin. It's hard to see it. I'm fine. I have one or two of them. That's it. Yeah, you're not sensitive enough. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would see the lack of khushu' in every single rak'ah that he prayed as sin. If he wasn't behaving perfectly the way he wanted to, if he wasn't treating people exactly the way he should, alayhi salam, we see that as a sin. See, the more sensitive you become, the more you see as sinful. Did you pray Fajr in Jama'atay at the masjid? No. Well, it depends on how sensitive you are to feel if that's a sin or not for yourself. Did you do Qiyam al-Layl tonight or last night? Well, it depends. Are you sensitive? Do you feel that this is something you should be doing? Those who don't feel that don't feel it's a sin at all. They don't care. But the Prophet ﷺ's level of sensitivity was so high that the smallest little variation that he wasn't doing things exactly the way he should, perfectly the way they should be done, he felt it was sinful. So he would ask Allah for forgiveness. So yes, he felt he had sinned even though technically he didn't. But because this level of sensitivity he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so high that the smallest variation was meaningful to him. He didn't want to be anything less than the best he could be for Allah. But many of us don't have that, so we don't make istighfar. For what? It's one sin, I already made istighfar for it. Miskin Allah. Make istighfar for the fact that you don't know what to make istighfar for. Right? If you're like, I don't know what to make istighfar for that, because that on its own is a musibah. If you don't feel that you're sinful, make istighfar, ask for forgiveness for the fact that you have failed to see that you're sinful, that you're not doing exactly what you should do, that you've lost your sensitivity to the point that you don't feel you owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than what you're doing. But that's why he would do this, Ali. And that's why he would do istighfar all the time. And another hadith, the Prophet would tell Abu Musa, Ala aduluka hadith عند الترمذي ألا أدلك على كنز من كنوز الجنة. I want to give you a treasure from Jannah, something that you قال قل لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. تز عليه الصلاة والسلام كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Two words, they're easy on the tongue, they're beloved to Allah, they're heavy in the scales. Say سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Do it 100 times a day. What does it take? 2 minutes? Not even 2 minutes. Just count, I have a masbah or something. They have electronic ones where you can put them on a pinky and just count. Better than your wedding ring, wallahi. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. Subhanallah, it's just something you have in your scales on the Day of Judgment. He would say, alayhi salatu wasalam, afdalu dhikri, la ilaha illallah. Hadith عند التلميذ. The best word ever said in another hadith, afdalu ma qaw, khayru ma qultu, wa qala an-nabiyyuna min qabli. The best thing I've ever said in the Nabiyyun, all the prophets before me have ever said, la ilaha illallah. Make sure you do it 100 times at least a day. What is that going to take from you? I'll end with this hadith, and that Imam Tirmidhi, Uwayy ibn Ka'b, came to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, Ya Rasulullah, kam aj'alu laka min salati? How much do I make out of all the invocations I do a day? And by the way, a Muslim without a wird, I don't know how a Muslim without a wird survives. You have to have a wird. You have to have a certain amount of invocation daily. A certain amount. I'm not saying you have to have thousands. Have a couple of hundred a day that you adhere to, that you never leave, that you never drop. Just astaghfar 100, tahleel 100, salli ala nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, say subhanAllah bihamdi subhanAllah, do something. You can't afford not to do something throughout the day. Commit yourself to a small amount of invocation as you drive, yahi, in the car, as you're driving. How much do you spend? What, 40, maybe 45 minutes, maybe more just commuting? Just do istighfar the whole time, or do some form of, before fajr, and you lie in bed before you go, do an invocation until you fall asleep. Something, just have something. So Uwayy ibn Ka'b came to the Prophet ﷺ, said, Ya Rasulullah, I do my invocation. I want to know how much should I make of salah ala nabi for you, like salah alayk. Faqala, ma shi'ta, whatever you want. Faqala, aj'alu laka rubu'ah, how about fourth, a quarter, sorry. Faqala, ma shi'ta, wa inzitta fa khayr, that's good. If you want to do more, it's khayr. فقال أجعل لك نصفها, how about half of my time, صلاة عليك. قال ما شئت, that's good. وإن زدت فخير, if you do more, it's better. فقال فأجعل لك ثلثي, how about two thirds. قال ما شئت, وإن زدت فخير, if you do more, it's better. قلت يا رسول الله أجعل لك صلاتي كلها, do I just do my whole invocation, صلاة عليك. فقال إذن تكفى همك ويغفر ذنبك. And if you do that, then your stress will be removed and relieved and your sin will be forgiven. صلى الله عليه وسلم, حديث الصحيح. And that's his hadith, that's his teachings, alayhi salatu wasalam, in salah and in invocation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to follow in his footsteps. هذا هو حبيبكم صلوا عليه صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. سبحان الله بحمدك شنو لا إله إلا أنت استغفر وتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا, بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.